to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman, and you get that feeling, man, when you come in here the day after a Monday Night Football game, it just doesn't go your way. This is the last thing you want to do is talk about it. I didn't go to sleep till very late. I was very angry going to sleep, and now I have to relive it all this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I guess it's a night of mixed returns for me. It's like, you know, seeing the Seahawks lose was disappointing, but then, you know, with the statistical results, I pulled out two tight fantasy games, so I guess I couldn't get both.
You couldn't get both, but you know what? You know what it is? Losing teams just find ways to lose. I think that's what it is.
That's it. Your record is what it says you are.
Man.
Like Bill Parcells said, you know, they didn't deserve to win.
Oh, man. You know, Blair Walsh, another yard. Another yard.
It's like if you're going to go back and harp on something, I don't even know about Blair Walsh. It's like, you know, that fake field goal at the end of the first half.
That was insane.
You know, that's what stands out. And look, they got into an early hole that was, you know, it was difficult to dig out of. They almost did.
Scotty, what was Pete Carroll's explanation on that after the game? I heard in-game the explanation of we tried something. It was insanely dumb.
He basically said the same thing after the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, you think back to why they lost Super Bowl 49. It's like, as much as I like Pete Carroll as a coach, I think sometimes he overthinks or gets too cute, and that's what happened last night. But two early turnovers, very efficient performance by the Falcons offensively was just too much to overcome. But then at the same time, you know, fantasy-wise, I got good performances, you know, from guys like Jimmy Graham in one of my leagues. Actually, in the GST, I overcame a Dak Prescott 0.3 performance to still score 137. So that was a good night in that respect.
You know, it's interesting. As great as Russell Wilson was at the end of the game, throwing that 3-yard pass to J.J. McKissick really cost them.
Yeah, well, it did.
Because you would have had another 20 seconds to run a real play. You know, you spike it and run a play, go 10 yards. You know, who knows if Blair Walsh can get it in. So.
Yeah, when you lose, you look back at stuff like that. It's a whole ball of wax, not just one thing.
Yeah, I know. Matt, what do you got? How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I watched like the first quarter, fell asleep. Woke up at 1, been up since, so I didn't
You've been up since 1.
I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch extensive highlights, but, you know, I thought there was going to be some really good stats for my team, but
there wasn't.
Unfortunately, there wasn't.
Did you watch? What have you been watching since 1 a.m. then?
Not a whole lot of good stuff. Trying to go back to sleep was up. I had a bowl of cereal.
That's nice.
Honey Nut Cheerio.
That's nice. Corey Parson, fantasy executive. What's going on?
Ain't nothing much, chilling. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm not doing well. I'm really annoyed, to be honest with you. But it's fantasy football. We'll get into it. We'll get into just pathetic showing. Sure, just how frustrating Monday Night Football could be for you as a fantasy owner. We'll do it all when we come back. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
So we're back here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So last week, remember, I had to go through this Kareem Hunt trade with you guys. It was Matt. I was very torn about this. It was 2 weeks ago now. I was very
torn
about it.
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah. If I didn't make that trade, I would have won this week. If I had Jordan Howard back over your boy Kareem Hunt, we're going to talk about that a little later on, maybe tomorrow. I would have won. And this other idiot in my league, or I would call a stupid idiot, didn't bail my opponent out this past week, and I faced this person two of the last 3 weeks. And they didn't bail him out and take Devontae Freeman from him, which I talked about on the show this past week, I would have won. Instead, I lost by 1.2 points, and I'm very angry this morning. Very angry.
Yeah, it's a frustrating feeling, you know, but I know that from Sunday night because I was down by less than 6 points to with two guys to go. My opponent was done, and I had Jake Elliott and Zach Ertz. Jake Elliott suffers a head injury, as we all know, and Zach Ertz, two catches for 8 yards. You never know what is going to happen. It's like I had one team this week where I had 0.3 from Prescott and I won, and then I had another one with Keenan Allen in the Chargers defense and I lost. So it's tough when you lose those close ones and you're a point or two away. You wait till Thursday for the feeling to like go away and say, well, maybe there'll be a scoring correction.
Yeah. I'm not hoping for that. I just feel lost is what I feel. I feel terribly lost. And yeah, that's all right, man. I get it for you. Your actual team lost, which sucks.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, Atlanta is right back in it.
Just like that.
Atlanta and Baltimore, right, Corey?
Atlanta's in it. In 2 weeks, the Saints could be. You know, the Saints facing Carolina. Everybody has the Saints winning that division, no question asked. They got to face Carolina. They have two games versus Atlanta still. So, I don't know. You know, everybody's got them gift
wrapped. It's a week-to-week league.
It is. But you know what, though? If they win those games, then they've certainly earned it. Atlanta has both Minnesota and New Orleans coming up in week 13 and 14.
Yeah. Listen, I understand that Seattle's defense is beat up, but to go into Seattle, pick up a win, which Atlanta did last night, always impressive, certainly in prime time. So they put up 34 points, which seems like a record in the Steve Sarkisian era. But I got to be honest with you, I was still surprised, at least because, listen, I admittedly was rooting for Julio Jones all night, but I still felt like they were not really taking advantage of some of these injuries across the defensive secondary from Seattle. And, you know, they were, you know, they were trying to establish the run game, 20 carries for Tevin Coleman in the evening. I thought they really could have taken advantage better.
Yeah, that first, one of the first plays of the game where Julio dropped that easy pass, that probably cost you right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was a difference.
That piece of crap. Mm-hmm.
But Tevin Coleman, I know he got 20 rushes, and when I looked and saw he only had one catch, I would have thought they would have tried to get him out there a little more in open space, considering that Seattle still has a good run defense, and you could exploit the secondary now. I mean, they had another injury. So, I mean, I still wonder about Sarkisian, but a big, big win for the Falcons, 6-4. They're right there. They're another team that's controlling their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun, this little stretch.
If you're looking from a Falcons perspective, it's not so much that they didn't take advantage. It was more efficient than it was explosive because on the right side of the defense where Sherman usually plays, they were going to that side all night and completing passes constantly on key downs. From a fantasy perspective, it wasn't explosive, but it was very efficient because the Seahawks secondary couldn't get off the field on the third down because on Jeremy Lane's side, where Sherman usually was, they were constantly completing key passes. On the other side, Byron Maxwell's played in this defense before, and he came in and, you know, he did a pretty good job even after Shaq Griffin went out. You know, the Falcons did what they had to do. It wasn't explosive because the way the Seattle played defense, you attacked the right side, but Earl Thomas was back there, you know, playing deep by himself, daring them to throw deep, and they weren't going to do it when they could just go to the lane side all night.
Yeah, it's true.
Good game plan.
Yeah, listen, it was a good game plan. I think Julio Jones needed more, you know, another catch for 12 yards or so, maybe 7. But it didn't happen. If he's targeted 10 times, which I can't be upset about, obviously. He only caught half of those. Targeted a couple times in the red zone with terrible passes. But listen, when it comes down to this game, this is Pete Carroll. I mean, Pete Carroll coached a terrible game. a terrible, terrible game, I thought, from the terrible fake field goal, which made no sense and still makes no sense. I can't wrap my head around it, to the terrible challenge, which cost him a timeout, which he obviously could have used a little bit later on because he, quote, trusted Doug Baldwin. You don't trust a player with that. You trust your coaches that are watching the replay. It was just a really, really poor game all around, I thought, for Pete Carroll, who was bailed out for most of this game by Russell Wilson and how extraordinary he is.
Most of his career.
Most of his career. That's a great point. And Russell Wilson, honestly, he made some poor plays at the end. You spike the ball, and you think about it, and you make up, and you... And you gather yourself to make a play. Instead, you cost yourself the end of the game. And Pete Carroll almost cost him the game again by putting the offense back on the field 6 seconds to go.
Yeah, they wanted like a few more yards.
Which they could have used.
I really like a lot about Pete Carroll, but as you saw at the end of Super Bowl 49, sometimes Pete Carroll either overthinks it, gets too cute, or both. And, you know, that I think that's a foible of his. As far as you know, what he was to do towards the end of the game, like, he always wants to get a little bit more, just like, and he overthinks it a little bit. There's a lot that Pete Carroll has done that, you know, that's commendable, but sometimes when he gets in a pressure spot, he overthinks it. And I think, you know, he might, you know, everybody blames Bevel for the end of the Super Bowl. I really think that was Carroll's call, where he overthought it. It's almost like a fantasy player in a way, like, you overthink it.
Problem with Pete Carroll is, me and Scott were talking before the show, is, you know, he tries to outsmart people. He tries to be the smartest guy, when if you just keep it simple, stupid, that's usually the best way to go in most cases. But, you know, he loves the limelight. When I lived in L.A., I would see him at all these little hot parties, whatever you want to call them. He likes being seen there. But the problem with the Seahawks now is they have San Francisco coming up. They should be able to win that game. But after that, it's versus Philadelphia at Jacksonville, and then versus the Rams. So,
absolutely. And now, like, essentially, we'll see what the Seahawks have here. We'll see if they have enough to get to the playoffs. Which, Scotty, a couple of weeks ago, you said is this no brainer guarantee. They're fighting for their lives now.
Yeah, no Sherman, no
sure.
Chancellor.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be very, very hard. You know, the defense. The defense is certainly.
Well, what about the people that's there? Next man up mentality.
It's a lot different when you lose two players like that.
What about the Cowboys?
It's going to be really, really hard.
No, you can't. There's no excuses in football. It's next man up.
I'm not making an excuse. I'm saying they're not making the playoffs.
As soon as he said this team's going to be struggling, you said no this, no that, no this, no that.
It's a fact.
But I'm saying those next man up. It's 53
you
players
on the
team.
You want to tell me about next man up, Sean
next
Lee?
Next man up.
Sean Lee, you want to tell me about next man up?
Do I ever make an excuse?
Sean Lee, do I ever make an excuse? Constantly.
Do I ever make an
Constantly.
Excuse? The only excuse I said was
Constantly.
Roger Goodell. Was
Constantly.
Roger Goodell. I did not make an excuse about Tyron Smith. Have not made an excuse
about
Sean Lee.
You were the only one standing here who thought Ezekiel Elliott was actually going to beat the thing. Because you are such a homer.
Well, not only did I think that, the NFL's lead investigator, Kia Roberts, also thought that.
Here we go with the homerism.
Hard
he talks about me.
Truth.
Here, go to
Here we go.
I'm
the
going
truth.
With the truth.
I can't wait for Christmas Eve, Seattle at Dallas.
They lost two Hall of Fame guys. They lost two Hall of Fame guys in their secondary. You know, they're not going to be able to win ball games.
Next man up.
All right, Sean Lee, next man up.
Ezekiel Elliott, their lineman who's been, you know, without him.
Yeah. How about your left tackles? Next man up. How about that? Yeah, next man up gets whipped by Adrian Claiborne for like 100 sacks.
And then you lose.
Exactly.
And you lose.
And I'm saying the same thing as you. Anyway, move on.
Well, you know, ultimately, you know, you look at the Seahawks team, and to me, it's the same bug. The offensive line is a joke. It gives Russell Wilson no time, obviously. He has to scramble. And
that's what he does anyway, regardless.
He wouldn't have to if he had an offensive line that didn't force
it. That's how they designed it.
It's
for years.
But that's stupid. You're going to get him killed.
He hasn't missed a game.
That's the right mentality. Let's not put an offensive line in there.
I'm not saying it's the right mentality, but the
Come
results
on.
Are still there. He's overcome
Pete
the
Carroll
offensive line.
Do you think Pete Carroll jumps ship and goes to UCLA, back to Southern Cal?
Would that surprise me? That wouldn't surprise me at all.
That's overreaction.
That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, it depends on how much. You know, UCLA opened up that money. Yeah.
He was a king down there.
Oh, he'd love to go back to L.A., get out, you know, not have to live in Seattle anymore. Oh, he'd love that. He's a king in college football.
I don't know. He's been there 7 years. It's not like he hates the place.
Have you asked him if he's
going to be there 7 years? It's obviously you don't hate the place.
Have you asked him if he prefers Seattle to LA?
He usually gets obviously out likes where he is. Everything goes to crap.
Correct.
He's like one step ahead.
Don't just close the door to that. Don't just close the door to that one. Just saying. Let's talk more about this game, more in depth on both sides. Let's talk about Tevin Coleman. Matt was talking about him earlier. Let's get back into Tevin Coleman when we come back. Serato Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Corey Parson. And Corey, Tevin Coleman yesterday evening ran the ball 20 times for 43 yards as a touchdown.
That's
not
good.
That is 2.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, 2.2 yards a pop. You know what I'm saying? You really don't want, you want to see a little bit better running of the football than that. But it's still the Seattle Seahawks defense on the road. So he was able to get that touchdown and kind of bail you out. But not really the kind of performance you want to see when you carry the ball 20 times. You want at least to get like 80 yards.
But wouldn't you think they would have used him more in the passing game? I woke up. I was very disappointed when I woke up and I saw these.
What I've noticed about what they do with him is when he's the running back, he's just the running back. They don't throw the ball to him. When it's the two of them out there, him and Freeman, he'll tend to catch more passes. But when he's out there by himself, he just runs.
I don't
understand why.
Plus, you know, they had an obvious plan where they wanted to attack a certain side of the defense, and you know it worked. You know, they really didn't have to. You know, they still scored 34 points last night.
I saw Austin Hooper caught 2 catches for negative.
Yeah, we watched that as well. You know, it's crazy because they ran the ball 20 times. The running was going nowhere. I just kept screaming, why aren't you just throwing the ball more?
Well, so the reason why they do that, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The reason why they do that is because if you give the defense the illusion that you're at least going to continue to run the ball, it sets up play action, and it set up some nice play action fakes for Ryan last night and some big completions.
And listen, this line looks a whole lot different. Tevin Coleman scores that second touchdown, which you got called back toward the end of the game last night. And no, all of a sudden, if it's 20-43-2, you're like, all right, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, it's still all right.
You still got 10 points.
Yeah.
You know, so you could also kind of flip it in your mind and say, okay, it's equivalent to like if he would have rushed for 100 yards and he didn't get a touchdown.
Yeah, one of what's interesting, I keep going back to like since week 6, because that's kind of when this Saints thing busted out. But Zeke Elliott and people trying to say like, you know, he could be any running back. He's not as important. The offensive lineman's more important than Zeke. But, I mean, Elliott still, he has the 8th most points for a running back in PPR since week 6. And I think he kind of gets undersold sometimes. Like people, like they just try to think of Dallas, and it's just a great line. Anybody can run there. So
yeah, that was a few years ago. It's like they were like, you know, before they had the injuries, they were like, I think Pro Football Focus had him like the 14th ranked offensive line. But you know, back to the Falcons with Julio Jones.
Yep.
And you know, we talk a lot about this, and you know, to put it in proper perspective, this guy was a first-round pick. Now, you look at the numbers every week and you say, okay, it's not terrible. It's not like drafting Terrell Pryor in the 3rd or 4th round. You're still getting like 11 to 14 fantasy points a week. But you wake up this morning, and maybe you guys have it differently, but I'm looking at ESPN overall scoring. He's wide receiver 15. He's a wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so from that perspective, it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
You can't be totally disappointed.
But he's a wide receiver 2 that was drafted
as
the second wide receiver going off the board.
Exactly.
When the fantasy executive was saying he should be drafted more towards the back end of the first round. Because that's where you want the people that put up wide receiver 2 numbers.
Yeah, and he hasn't even given you a first round return at all.
He hasn't.
Whether it's the back.
Yep, you know. That he has not.
Speaking of Julio Jones, last night targeted 10 times. That is way more than anybody else. He thought he could have caught another pass or so, but whatever, it didn't happen. He targeted 10 times. He caught 5. How about this? 5 for 71. When I went to bed last night, it was 5 for 72. If I would have lost and they took away 1 yard at the end of the game, it was a 30-yard catch, a 29-yard catch. If I would have won when I went to bed and then woke up this morning and lost, I don't think I'd be here.
You are very surly this morning, Cecil.
A lot of people, of course, complaining on Twitter until that 29-yard completion late in the game.
Which was a 30-yard completion until they changed it this morning.
Yeah.
Yes, it was late in the game. And then I was just begging for one more catch. I was just screaming at the TV. Oh, I have a story for that, speaking of, if I may.
Sure.
No, but it's your thing, Mr. Sussman.
To hear it.
So when Judy, my girlfriend, started watching football, it was the Seahawks that really actually got her into football. It was the ridiculous Aaron Andrews, Richard Sherman interview. And she's like, this is absurd. It's so absurd. It's great, right? Like,
yeah.
And she loves Russell Wilson, and she thinks Russell Wilson's awesome. She's basically Scott. And
it's funny because that's my mother's name too. Yeah.
So she finds Russell. So whatever, she loves Russell Wilson. So she
don't like Richard Sherman.
She loves Richard Sherman. Absolutely loves him.
She's a Seahawk fan.
Yeah, basically, she's basically a Seahawk fan.
You did well.
So she wanted to watch this game. And so we watched every old game. I'm just cheering for Julio, and she's cheering for the Seahawks, and it's fine. And she asked a lot of questions throughout the game. It's weird.
Yeah, I can imagine.
She's trying to root for Julio here, and I'm getting angrier as the game's going on. But anyway, so we're watching the game, and they're down 10 points, and she really enjoys when there's a sack because she thinks it's fun. So they score the touchdown. She's excited. And then 2 minutes left, right, third down. I'm praying to the gods that Matt Ryan throws to Julio Jones. He gets sacked. He gets sacked, right, with a minute 55 left. They call the timeout. And so she just screams her head off, like F yeah, it's a sack. F yeah, F yeah. All of a sudden, you hear a knock on my door. And I was like,
the police?
I didn't know who it was. And I'm just like, I'm not answering
the doorman.
I'm not going to answer the door. I'm
not the doorman.
I would have said the butler. Okay.
I'm not answering the door.
So who was it?
So
neighbor.
I get a call. So whatever. We don't answer. It's like they probably they heard you screaming. And it wasn't me. I wasn't watching football screaming. It was you screaming. So I get a call actually a half hour later. The game's over. I'm in bed. It's from our super. And I pretend I'm sleeping. Like, hello? They're like, yeah, we heard a screaming from your apartment. Is everything okay?
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, everything is fine. Thank you so much for asking. I go, Judy, you're going to get us kicked out of this building. Like, this is your fault. She's like, I don't want to be known as these people. Like, you need to calm yourself. Yeah.
She's known as the screamer.
That was not going for
it. Come on. I had to go there.
That was unnecessary. I don't think he would have. Julio Jones finishes with 5 for 71. Muhammad Sanu, 3 for 34. Only targeted 3 times, which actually was a surprise. I felt like he was targeted more.
Of course you did.
That was a hell of a catch.
Because in early on, first half, he was targeted a lot, especially the first quarter.
And that was it. He wasn't targeted again. Yeah. He was down with a touchdown. Lamia Toolo actually had a really nice catch on the left side for a touchdown.
That really frustrated Austin Hooper's owners.
It did.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
You know what, though? They kept talking about it all night. Like, you know, over the last few years, Atlanta's always run like a 3 tight end, you know, 13 personnel set against the Seattle.
And it's
worked
last
a lot.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talked about that last night. Just how effective that set has been, and it was again last night. They, I don't know about having Seattle's number, but they right now they beat them a lot.
Yeah,
they beat them a lot.
They beat them the last two times they played them. Seattle won the regular season game last year. They won the playoff game and this game.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, Atlanta whooped them in the playoffs last year, and here they're going to Seattle, bit of a win. It's pretty impressive.
They should have won the game in the regular season last year.
But they didn't.
No,
they didn't. That was debatable, too.
that was bad.
Scott's face when he said they whooped them.
They kicked their ass.
Yeah.
They stepped on Russell Wilson's foot, and then the game was over after that.
On the other side of things.
He scored 0.3 points.
Russell Wilson was, you know, spectacular for most of the night. 258 yards, two touchdowns, ran for 86 yards, another touchdown. He's
a beast.
He's a beast. And if he doesn't get tripped up in that, on that last drive, he runs for another 30 yards. It's a chip shot field goal for Blair
Walsh. That was just a really good tackle, too, you know, by the linebacker.
What do you mean, actually? Just if he didn't get tripped up, of course, yeah, it's a good tackle.
I'm saying it was a good play. So, well, he also had, like, an interception early and, you know, a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. So they had to crawl out of a hole. You know, to his credit, you know, he did everything he possibly could to, you know, to get him out of that hole.
Speaking of Matt Ryan, over the last five games, he's fantasy quarterback number four. It's important. Yeah.
That's why I'll be back in your lineup for Dak Prescott this week.
And that's why, see, that's a good point, because that's why it doesn't feel like a big game from Ryan, because this was the first time that he was held under 200 yards all season.
Right.
But he was very, very efficient.
He hasn't been spectacular over the last 5 weeks. He's just been consistent. And surprisingly enough, just over the last 5 weeks, it's Russell Wilson 1, Kirk Cousins 2, Tyrod Taylor is number 3.
There you go. How about that? Tyrod Taylor.
He could be a free agent in a lot of leagues this week.
He could be a streamer for a lot of guys this week. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, he's got a good. He's got some interesting streamers out there this week.
There are, absolutely. Last night, Jimmy Graham comes down with a touchdown, 7 for 58. You had Jimmy Graham. You felt good.
This kid is getting it done.
Yes, he is.
He is getting it done.
Yes, he is.
Shout out to Jimmy
Graham.
They're basically just posting him up like a basketball player all the time.
He's boxing him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God you never went to that Luke Wilson route.
So happy I didn't cut him for Luke Wilson.
You would have negative 1 yard last night for when he got stuffed on the fake field goal.
We had Paul Richardson at 5 for 56. He actually was second on those team in targets behind Jimmy Graham. And then Doug Baldwin had a late touchdown which saved the owners. It was a 30-yard touchdown. It saved the owners from a very disappointing night from Doug Baldwin.
It was one of those plays where, you know, Roethlisberger and Rodgers do it too. It's like he saw the flag, knew he had a free play, and he just streaked down the middle.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Jimmy Graham is 5 points away from Zach Ertz as the number 2 tight end overall.
It's been a really, really good season for the most part here from Jimmy Graham, who's just, listen, Scott's right. They just post him up, and he's figured it out, and there's a rhythm now with Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson that I don't think we've seen before. And their chemistry is there now with Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson, are best friends.
They were trying to get him into the end zone for another touchdown, and he took a hell of a pop from Keanu Neal.
And he also just dropped one.
Yeah, he did too.
He also just straight
up. He has one of those every week.
He does. And Russell Wilson made a spectacular play to get him the ball, and he just dropped it, which sucked. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're actually going to discuss the running game with Seattle, which, just from the naked eye, I thought actually looked a lot better than I've seen all year. And then, of course, another injury struck. We'll talk about that when we come back. It is the Roto Experts, presented by DX Racer on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Last night for Seattle, Mayo actually tweeted this out. As soon as Eddie Lacy was announced as starter and Thomas Rawls was inactive, it was clear they were going to activate Mike Davis off the practice, or activate him off the practice squad. It was clear they were going to start him or play him and actually to use him on the active roster. And Mayo was like, listen, if you play in Yahoo where guys that have not played yet are able to be picked up, go do it. It could cost you nothing right now, and it may be worth it by the time the game's over. You have nothing to lose if you have someone you could drop. I didn't. So I didn't do anything. And Mike Davis came out, and he looked as spry as we've seen any running back for Seattle look since Chris Carson got hurt, you know, 10 weeks ago. Six carries, 18 yards. Doesn't sound great, but two catches for 41 certainly does, right? Two catches of 21 yards each. And then Mike Davis went the way of Chris Carson and immediately gets hurt, hurts his groin, towel over his head, and he leaves the game. Look good, though. Eddie Lacy looked as terrible as ever. I mean, he was fat and immobile and I don't know why he hasn't been cut yet, to be perfectly honest with you. Thomas Rawls even looks better than him. He wasn't active last night, but he does look better than him.
He sucks.
He does suck.
He sucks.
He does. He does.
Eddie Lacy sucks.
Yes, he does. I'm agreeing with you. And then you had J.D. McKissick.
Clown.
A lot of people, my friend Frank Stanfield talked up quite a bit this week.
He did.
I talked him down quite a bit.
He was ridiculed.
He was by me. And McKissick last night was used more than he has been all year. Carried the ball 7 times for 30 yards. By far looked like the most spry running back since Chris Carson, which we expected, but got the opportunity last night. Caught 5 passes for 23 yards. And maybe, just maybe, they'll just keep giving the ball to their best running back, and that's J.D. McKissick.
I think if, you know, we've talked about groin injuries before, about how guys can come back from if they can go through pregame warmups. I think if Davis can come back next week, I think it could be a timeshare between Davis and McKissick, because I don't know if they want... McKissick runs hard, but I don't think they want to be constantly, like, you know, handing the ball off to him to run between the tackles. They want him as a receiver, an occasional runner, and, you know, Davis also has some receiving skills, too. If you read Joe Galina's waiver column on rotoexperts.com right now, he talks about, you know, his pass-catching skills from college, and the reason why they want him in there is because he's a good pass blocker as well. So I think it'll be a timeshare between the two.
Now,
wait, one guy's hurt. He's hurt.
No, I just said, with groin injuries, we've seen it. Some guys can come back from it quickly. So we have to see how he heals.
I would play the matchup on this one. They play the 49ers next.
Yeah.
So J.D. McKissick's a big time start, you're saying?
The other kid.
He's not going to play.
You don't know that.
Told him to join up that bad?
He left the game, towel on his
with
head,
a groin injury.
He was in a lot of pain.
I've told you about groin injury. Of course he's in a lot of pain.
You would know about groin injuries.
Examine the Russell's.
That was uncalled for, right?
Uncalled for. Russell is slow. You made the doorman comment.
Yeah. So you owe Modica one now, too. Yeah.
I'll get him.
Yeah.
But why are you worried about him?
What
are you worried about him?
That's always a scoreboard to
you. You made a comment. I made a comment.
But look, with groin injury. I told you, former NFL players, and we've seen it before. If you can make it through a groin injury in warmups, you can play the next week. It's a, we don't know for sure. We can't say for right now that we don't know he's playing this week. Yeah, he's in a lot of pain. Yeah, but we, you know,
McKissick's the better choice.
A, we're not doctors. And B, groin injuries, you know, it's like we just don't know right
You're
now.
You're the one playing the doctor, Scott. Tomorrow we're not doctors. You're the one saying, oh, a groin injury, you can play.
I've had former NFL players
tell me, they're not doctors.
I've had a former NFL running back
He's an
actual player, though. He's an actual player. So it's a legitimate source. He said, if I had a groin injury, if I could make it through warm-ups, the doctors would let me play.
This one, I mean, all I can tell you, and I am not a doctor by any means, all I can tell you is this: this dude limped off the field in tears, and he sat there in a lot of pain the rest of the game. It might be torn off the bone,
you know?
We don't know, but what I'm saying
right,
is,
that's why I'm not
speculating. You're
the one speculating he's going to play.
You said he's out. We don't know either.
I'm saying I'm not
ready. I never said he was going to play. I said, we don't know.
No, no, no. You said, you look at Joe Galina's column, he gets pass block, he can do this, and against the 49ers, he may be the guy. And I'm sitting here watching
I didn't say that.
Cry.
I said it was going to be.
I didn't say any of that.
You're putting words in my mouth.
No,
what kind of teacher are you?
I'm not a teacher. I'm one.
Anyway.
All I'm saying is, I'm saying if you go J.D. McKissick right. against the Niners,
what
and you
I'm
were saying Mike
is,
Davis could be the guy.
No, what I said was, I didn't say that. What I said was, I see a timeshare between these two guys if Davis is able to play. That is what I said.
I see McKissick as the best option. This team can't run the ball. He can catch the ball. You know, maybe they'll do that, you know, obligatory handoff just to make it look good. You know, we're going to run it every now and then. But I think for this offense currently, as it's stated, McKissick is the guy you want to own in the PPR.
I think both of them will factor in because Davis can catch the ball out of the backfield too as well. And they want to run him inside. I think he would definitely be the goal line guy, and they're playing against San Francisco.
I'm not going to speculate on a guy that may have a torn groin.
Right. I'm saying if he's able to play.
But I don't think we should speculate on that, like what his role could be when we literally watched him get hurt last night. Like, he may be done for the year. We may never see him.
What I said was, What I said was, if both are healthy, I think it's a timeshare.
Right, and then that's fine, but they're not both healthy. We know they're not both healthy. We saw the injury. How can we speculate on a guy? Like, tell me about Thomas Rawls, right? Like, at least he was a healthy and active.
I don't know if he's going to play or not. What I'm saying is, if he does, it'll be a timeshare.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
We saw the timeshare last night.
Yeah.
There's no doubt it'll be a timeshare if they both play. McKissick's the healthy one right now. That's the guy. If he's out there waiver-wise, I think he's going to be potentially. McKissick is the one I'm probably going to want right
he's
now.
He's been yo-yoed on and off of waiver-wise all year, too.
Absolutely.
I picked him up. I mean, he was like my third choice, but I did get him.
I owned him. I've dropped him. I'm sure everybody at the table has probably at some point.
No, I don't fool with none of them.
You don't fool with J.D. McKissick?
I don't fool with Seattle running backs.
Currently available 90% of Yahoo leagues. That's J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, wow. But it's like you never know. Like, in my New York Super, I've had Samaje Perine on my team the whole season. Never started him once. Never wanted to start him.
Yep.
But the rest of the season, God forbid somebody goes down, I'm happy right now that I actually own him.
Oh, of course.
Never thought I'd say that.
I'm sure you are. Samaje Perine, obviously in line for some good stuff. Any final takeaways from Monday Night Football, gentlemen?
I would say, you know, with the Falcons, you know, they're playing efficient football, but there's not a lot of upside for the Seahawks. Wilson's going to continue to be Wilson. Richardson will give you a floor every week. And with Doug Baldwin, it's like he didn't have a big game, but he still gave you something.
I wish Tyler Lockett would have returned when I had the Seattle defense in the league. But
he had a lot of good returns.
Yeah, Lockett looked good on special teams last night. He did have.
I'm just excited. We got some football in 2 days.
Yeah, big things.
We always have football in 2 days.
No, but we got 3 games. Come on,
we do.
Thanksgiving's a special day.
It is. That
kicks off the holiday season.
Thanksgiving is the second biggest day on the fantasy football calendar. Draft day is one, Thanksgiving day is two.
Why do you really?
Most important
behind
day,
championship week?
No,
yeah, most important day is Christmas Eve. That's going to be championship.
I would say it's four. I would say draft day, whatever order you want to put it, start of the playoffs, championship week, maybe week 13, and then Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is like, but how do you get to weeks 14, 15, and 16?
I need
a big Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's big.
That's not true at all.
It's top five,
I don't even know
why
I have any players playing on Thanksgiving.
I got some players.
So there's nothing to
six teams playing on Thanksgiving.
I understand that. All right, hold on. I'll look at my team right now. I
got four of my biggest league going.
So that's your biggest league. For me, I have one player going on Thanksgiving.
All right, let me throw this out there then, Greg. It's like, is it really a big day, or is it just they're playing earlier than everybody else in the week?
I'm gonna go with your mind, Scotty. Like, for some people, Thanksgiving will mean nothing. Like, you just won't have that many guys.
9 a.m., I'll be watching March of the Wooden Soldiers.
You should be listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'll download it.
Your boys will be on.
I will download and listen on the way to Staten Island. Well, actually, I can listen to Nando. I made a fantastic 6-CD set of holiday music. That
you were on the list this year.
Yeah, I was on the list.
Wow.
And I've been naughty. I've been a little nice.
You were on the list. That's a big spot, Matt Modica.
No, I gladly took it. It'll be rocking on the way to Staten Island on Thursday.
Can I be honest with you? I hate Christmas music. I hate it.
But I can understand that.
Yeah, but Staten Island's like a 10-minute drive, isn't it?
No.
No, not so much. Corey, any final takeaways from Monday Night Football for you, sir?
No, it's a week-to-week league. 2 weeks ago, the Atlanta Falcons were nothing. Now, right back in the mix.
Yeah,
it's a week-to-week league.
And then with that being said, gentlemen, I do have to ask our final thoughts on Week 11 in general. It's in the books. After this, we turn the page and head to Week 12.
Yep.
Anxiously excited is what I'll use.
I'm nervous. Yep. I'm nervous.
Yeah, they all become big excited. Now, you know, no, it's because one loss can really change the context of where you are in the playoff bracket.
Listen, I've harped on it all morning. That was last night for me. You know, I was 13. 13 yards away from being in first place with the most points. Now I'm sitting here in third, and you know I have two tough matchups coming ahead, and you know who knows what could happen in those matchups, and so on and so forth. So, you know, a lot to look forward to and be scared about, and all that.
No, it really is. It's like you're excited, you're nervous, you can't wait for the games to start, and in two prime times, one I was in first place by myself. I now have a 3-way tie. Luckily, I beat those other two teams, so I control my own destiny. And then in the other league, where I had a 1-game lead, I'm tied with Nelson Sousa and Dave Hubbard, and they have an insanely good team.
All right, there you go.
Don Burns.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Don Burns is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Don Burns. So there you go. We're just a couple of days away now from week 12, which is crazy. We don't have a lot to talk about.
You think I could play Nate Peterman this week?
No.
Probably won't do that. Probably should leave him.
Has he come out and said anything?
No.
Yet? No, so, he's come out and been like, well, he's seriously considering playing Peterman again. This guy's a nut.
Who can come in relief this week, Corey?
That's a fireable offense.
I agree. And he starts really him again. It's a fireable offense. I completely agree.
Play Teddy Bridgewater.
We'll take a break. When we come back here on the Roto Experts, we're talking about Nate Peterman a little bit. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Said, you know, with fireable offenses around here, if Nate Peterman starts for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, that is day one, a fireable offense on Monday morning. I don't care that Brandon Bean, the general manager, is Sean McDermott's handpicked choice. I don't care that they just hired Sean McDermott and gave him all this power and all this money. But when you right in the middle of a playoff race, and I understand that was not the plan this year. The plan was to suck and get an early draft pick. When you're in the middle of a playoff race and you throw out a guy that is just unprepared to be an NFL starter, when you have a perfectly capable starter on your team, you deserve to be fired. To come out there yesterday and instead, in your press conference, being like, listen, you know, Nate didn't give us what we wanted. He made a couple of nice throws, but it wasn't exactly what we wanted. We're going to go back to Tyrod Taylor. That was the right thing to do. Like, better than the ball club. We're trying to win ball games. We're going back to Tyrod Taylor. And that's what he should have said. Hold on a second. Instead, to come out and be like, listen, he made a few bad throws. He made a few good throws. We still have to evaluate. That is, to you, sir, the fan, Matt Modica, that is an injustice, that is screwing you over, that is straight up lying to you.
It's not,
the fact is, this is an organization that doesn't want to win, and it is absolute BS, and I would rip my hair out if that was the case, you know.
Look, he's a rookie head coach, and the first thing he should be saying is, look, I made this decision, I was wrong. I thought this would give us the best chance to win going forward. We're going to go back to Tyrod Taylor and let this thing play out. Because he's going to lose the locker room. They stood by him. A lot of these guys said, even if we don't agree with it, we agree with the man behind the decision. After what happened in that first quarter alone, you know, these guys are like, if this guy is
sorry.
If he's the starter, then, you know, I don't blame any of these players for having mutiny and all that.
Look, we're getting upset about coach speak here, all right? The guy's not going to say publicly what he's going to do. He doesn't want to let his next opponent know who the quarterback is going to be if he doesn't have to, and try to have them guessing. What he says publicly...
What are you doing by making them guess?
Yeah.
What?
We have to prepare for Nate Peterman! Yeah. We better make sure all quarterbacks can catch this week!
They would still prepare for Tyrod Taylor,
It seems that simple from the outside, but from the inside... He's not tipping his hand. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear.
It's not a quarterback battle. There's not like there's a choice.
But that's what he's saying publicly. It doesn't matter what he says in the press conference. He's probably already made his decision.
He had two good options, and he was like, you know what? We're not going to say anything. But this guy just threw five picks in the first quarter. I mean, come on.
It doesn't matter. He's just he's not going to say it publicly. I don't think it's any...
The other team's not that stupid that they're even worried about Peterman, number
probably,
one.
Probably, but
number two, they're going to prepare for Tyrod Taylor.
It doesn't matter what he says publicly, whether he can see through it or not. He's probably already made the decision internally, and that's all that matters. It would be incredibly stupid to play Nate Peterman. He's probably already made the decision to go to Taylor.
Yeah, but he might play Peterman. I would not be surprised.
But that terminology that you just said, Scotty, that he probably already made the decision. I'm sorry, if he probably already made the decision and didn't make the decision at halftime of this last game that, Tyrod Taylor's my starter going forward.
He probably thought that after the fifth interception.
He deserves to be fired if he hasn't.
Well, I want to see what happens. You know, I'm not going to take coach speak. You know, is an indication of anything that's going to happen.
That's a bad example of coach speak.
Correct. It's a bad example. It's not a leader.
I think it's a useless press conference.
That ever been. We'll take a break. When we come back in week 12, we're going to see the return of a big time player maybe you've been waiting on. Are you putting him in your lineup in week 12? We discuss that as the hour begins. Coming up next.